text for this morning is from the 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 16. I read for you again these words beginning with verse 13. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. This is our text. Dear Christian friends, Ignaz Semmelweis was a doctor in Vienna in the mid-1800s. He worked in one of two maternity hospitals in town that had been established for the training of doctors and of midwives in dealing with childbirth. And he noticed that the women at the one hospital training doctors had died of fever at a rate twice that of the women at the hospital only training midwives. In fact, it was even higher than women who gave birth in the street rather than go to that hospital, because they had noticed the same thing. And he wondered if it might have to do with one of the few differences between the two hospitals, and that is that the doctors were also training to do autopsies. So he thought, let's try having them wash their hands after an autopsy to wash off the smell of dead bodies before they go help women in childbirth. And sure enough, the rate of death dropped to nothing. But the other doctors refused to believe that hand washing had anything to do with it. And so he was driven out of that hospital and his position. He continued to try to convince people that washing hands made a difference. But he was so unsuccessful, he became furious. And so he was thought to be out of his mind, even by his wife. He was committed to an insane asylum and was beaten by guards and died 2 weeks later. A few years later, Louis Pasteur discovered the existence of germs. The point is the importance of recognizing connections, even when others are not able to see any connection at all. Jesus, in today's reading from the Gospel of John, illustrates the importance of our remaining connected with him. These words from the letter of John also point out the essential connections that are not always seen. That true faith connects us to the one true God. That all true teaching connects to Jesus Christ, and that faith in God is connected to loving others. Let's think first about how true faith connects us to the one true God. John writes, beginning with verse 1, "But beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, for many false prophets have gone out into the world." He goes on in verse 4, "Little children, you are from God and have overcome them, for he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." And in verse 13, he says, "By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit." The first connection we need to recognize is the connection of spirituality with true faith in God, who gives the Holy Spirit. What John calls the world is very interested today in spirituality. That is, that aspect of life that is not just physical, which affects our having peace and hope and joy, etc. But it is popular to be spiritual without being religious, holding to a particular system of beliefs and behaviors. Even some atheists these days have found some value in worship-like gatherings with fellowship and songs and readings. And many try to imitate true prayer with meditation. But being spiritual is like having an appetite. A good appetite keeps you from becoming spiritual, from physically weak. But being religious is like having a particular diet, like a balanced diet of meat and grains and fruits and vegetables, or a vegetarian diet, or a paleolithic diet, or whatever. It's important for you both to have a good appetite and a good diet. You can have a good appetite without having a good diet. You just eat whatever looks good and tastes good. That's not very healthy. You're better off with a good diet even if you have a bad appetite. Many people today have a good spiritual appetite. They're interested in being spiritual, but without paying much attention to their spiritual diet. They just leave whatever looks good or sounds good without worrying about whether it's objectively true. Sometimes they even believe things that are mutually contradictory just because, well, that's what I like to believe. The problem with generic spirituality is failure to recognize the germ of sin, which carries death even to those who are seeking life. John says there are many false prophets in the world. That's more true than ever. And so he warns about the Antichrist. The Antichrist is not, as some imagine, a political figure. It's a religious figure. Watch out for false religion. So he says to test the spirits to see if they're really from God. The devil is spiritual as well. If you want to just open the door to any type of spirituality without being careful who you're inviting, guess who's going to walk in the door? In confirmation instruction, the students took tests. John says now it's time for them and the rest of us to do the testing. The true God has given us of his Spirit, as he did in baptism. With water and the Word. It's that Word that causes faith in God. It's that same Spirit who inspired the Word of God in the Bible and who uses that Word of God to keep us connected to the one true God and the life that we need by helping us to understand the truths of that Word. Nothing in this world can sustain true spiritual life outside of the Word that connects us to Christ. Now, this is connected to John's next point, and that is that all true teaching connects to Jesus Christ. Verse 2, by this you know that the Spirit of God, every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, and every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and is now in the world already. Verse 14, we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. Now, at the time that John wrote this, there was another teacher named Corinthus. And Corinthus was teaching, well, it's not possible for God to die on a cross. And so there was this man, Jesus, and the Spirit, Christ, entered into him until he died on the cross. John says, no. Jesus Christ is one person, God and man, both at the same time. The Son of God in the flesh. God remaining, abiding in him. This is the only way for him to be our Savior, who can be innocent and yet at the same time die in our place, not just for us, but for the sins of the whole world. The real God has come in the flesh to deal with the real problems of our sinful human flesh. Jesus' incarnation and his role as our Savior is the heart and center of the gospel. His death and resurrection is the only way for us to have forgiveness of sins, which separates us from God, the source of life. His blood is the only thing that washes away the germs of sin which kill. Wise consumers have learned to read carefully the labels on food products. If the main ingredient, that's what's listed first on the label, is something like sugar, be careful about eating that. Look even more carefully at any teaching, any sermon, any hymn or song. If what God does for us through Jesus is not the main ingredient, be careful what you're swallowing. This leads to an even more dangerous disconnect. Some may say, well, as long as you believe in Jesus, nothing else matters. Doctrine is not all that important. Actually, it's the opposite that's true. Because Jesus is the heart of the gospel, every other doctrine, that word simply means teaching, is connected to Him. It's like the center of a spider web. You touch any part and it's felt there. It's like the Christian faith is a river system. Pollution or poison in any tributary finds its way to the main river. In the movie, My Big Fat Greek Wedding, I love the line where the father says, give me a word, any word, I'll show you how it comes from Greek. Christian doctrine, any doctrine, is connected to Jesus Christ. The power of baptism to genuinely give new life is because it's baptism into Christ. The real presence of Jesus' body and blood in Holy Communion is because He is still both God and man with the real body. Marriage of man and woman is a picture of the relationship of Christ and His church. You redefine marriage as implications for the relationship of Christ and His church. The Old Testament scriptures are as true as Jesus' word, which says they are the word of God. If that can't be believed, nothing Jesus said can be believed. We can't confess Jesus Christ and deny what He says, because it's only through His Word that we receive His gifts. Devaluing teachings that don't appear at first glance to be directly connected to salvation through Jesus may come from a failure to recognize another connection, and that is that faith in God is connected to loving others. John writes in verse 7, beloved, let us love one another. For love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. And this is the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent His only Son into the world so that we might live through Him. And this is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and His love is perfected in us. Another of the ideas of this world is that we all need to get along with each other and love one another, which is true, but the idea that therefore we need to ignore or keep quiet about differing teachings or different beliefs which seem to divide us. Again, John says it's the opposite. He calls those who he is warning about false teaching beloved. It is because they are loved that he says what he does. He goes directly from the importance of faith in the real Jesus to and discerning the spirit of truth and error, to talking about sincere love for others. He is not changing the subject. He's showing that the two are intimately connected. Genuine love, which is not just pretending to care about others, comes from knowing and believing the truth about God. God most certainly loves us dearly. He most certainly hates sin and untruth. Why? Because they're bad for us, and they always hurt us and separate us from Him who loves us. This is why God does not just ignore sin or unbelief, saying, that's okay, it doesn't matter. It does matter. This is why Jesus came to do something about it, to separate us, whom He loves, from sin, which He hates, to take away our sin by giving us faith in the truth. The greatest obstacle to love is not intolerance, but self-centered sin, which says, I don't care about you. And so, I don't care what you do, and I don't care what you believe. It doesn't make a difference. I don't care if you go to hell. But love says, I do care. I care enough to do something and to say something that makes a difference. Abiding in the truth does not call for us to hate anyone. Instead, it calls for us to love others as God loves us, with genuine, tough love that does what it takes to save people from danger, both to body and to soul. God loves us, and we are to show love for others, not just in first article ways, food, clothing, shelter, but also in second article ways, as Jesus does, with risky self-sacrifice for those who are inclined to reject us. And also in third article ways, as the Holy Spirit does, with forgiveness of sin and sharing the truth. As John says, no one can see God directly, but we show what God is like by showing what His love is really like, not ignoring sin or error, but doing what it takes to put an end to it. Avoiding whatever it makes others uncomfortable or unhappy is not really love of others. It's love of ourselves. But true love takes great boldness. And God gives us this courage because perfect love for God and others drives out fear. When we really believe in God and His love for us and others, we are moved to love others in the same way. In the Gospel reading, Jesus calls us to remain connected to Him, the true vine, our source of life. In these verses also, John is calling us to abide, that is, to remain in God, and so he shows us how we are connected to Him. True faith connects us to the true God. Test the spirits of this world to see, because there is no genuine spirituality apart from faith in the true God. All true teaching connects to Jesus Christ. His coming in the flesh to die and to rise again is the heart of the Christian faith, and every other truth taught in God's Word is connected to this essential, central truth. And so faith in God is connected to loving others. All the truths in God's Word work together to give us confidence in His true love for us, and it's our confidence in His love for us enables us to fearlessly have a genuine love for others. It is God Himself. It is Jesus' death and resurrection. It is the Holy Spirit's work who causes both this faith and this love to abide forever. May God grant that this is true for each of us. Amen. Now, may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in true faith to life everlasting. Amen.